sitting on the table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Justice.
Justice. Justice.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Privacy.
Right.
Well.
Peace.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Carta Dana,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the border. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM. And over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 341. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and joining me today are co-host Tetenda Chikukwa and Gordon Barnes. And today we're going to have a look at some human rights issues around the world, including our own country. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, Jim. It's good here. Welcome to Tenda. It's a little cool day here for the beginning of spring in Regina, but it's a sunny day.
Official second day of spring, minus 16.
I'm glad
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me because I hadn't figured that out, that's for sure.
So, Jim, I think you were going to start the program today by reminding everybody about the details of an important fundraiser for CJTR. And
absolutely. Time is
how people can participate.
Time is slipping away here. Let me just look here. May 8th is the draw date.
Okay.
So we've got a little over a month, I guess, or about a month, roughly, to get your ticket. If you don't already have your ticket, if you have one ticket, consider a second ticket. It's the Look and Listen Lottery for CJTR. The grand prize for this particular lottery is a trip for two to New York City, which includes return airfare for two in a four-star hotel for three nights, and Mets or Yankees baseball tickets, tickets for a motor coach tour of Manhattan, and tour of Radio City Music Hall, plus $1,000 cash to spend any way you want. So that sounds to me like a really nice little holiday. I'm up for that.
All right.
I also don't qualify, because I actually work here.
Okay.
So it makes me ineligible. Anyway, second prize. Second prize is a $1,000 travel voucher from Carlson Vaughan Lee Rickard Travel. So you can do whatever you want with that. $1,000 will take you a fair length. You can plan a nice vacation with a little $1,000 voucher from Carlson Vaughan Lee Rickard Travel. And third prize is a relaxing getaway at Moose Jaw's Temple Gardens Mineral Spa, and that is a two-night stay with breakfast and dinner at Harwood's Dining Room and a $100 gaming credit at Casinos Regina and Moose Jaw. The way I game, that $100 would be gone really fast. Tickets are $20 each, and there are only 1,200 available. And, of course, that's not true anymore because we've sold so many. I don't have a count, but we certainly have far fewer than 1,200 available at this time.
Oh.
They've been selling pretty solidly, you know.
That's good news.
Yeah, we sell a lot of them here in the office, and we can do it over the phone. You can purchase them right here at the offices, or you can call the radio station at 525-7274 during regular office hours, Monday through Friday. We can do it by credit card over the phone, and we'll send your ticket to you. So for more information about the rules of play or the prizes, you can just go to www.cjtr.ca. It's an important fundraiser for us, and of course, just to remind you folks, we are a community radio station. And we have about 100 or so volunteers that help make it go. And we do get a little bit of money for advertising, but we don't do nearly the amount of advertising that regular commercial radio stations do. Mm-hmm. If you compare the two of them, we have some commercials at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, and nothing in between, and not very many. So you're listening to relatively uninterrupted programming.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a diversity of programming, too. It's great to tune in during the week and all the different kinds of programmers who are contributing as volunteers, and also a great diversity of music. So you know, I'd encourage people to support community radio and CJTR and call in and get your tickets.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well,
so with that, we are going to begin the program by just reflecting a little bit on today, and that is March 21st being the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. It's a day that was marked by a very tragic events in South Africa in Sharpeville on March 21st of 1960. When 69 people who were peacefully demonstrating against the apartheid pass laws were killed. The police opened fire and killed, as I say, 69 people. 6 years later, the UN General Assembly called on the international community to increase its efforts to eliminate all forms of racial discrimination and proclaim the day. In 1966. It also called on world states and organizations to participate in a program of action to combat racism and racial discrimination, and has held forums since then. And as this year, the United Nations has actually got a theme for this year's events, and that is related to the role of leaders in combating racism and racial discrimination. And the Secretary General of the United Nations, I was noticing, has said, "I call on all people, especially political, civic, and religious leaders, to strongly condemn messages and ideas based on racism, racial superiority, or hatred, as well as those that incite racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance." That's a quote from the Secretary General of the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And in marking that day, you know, there are often times when people might think, oh, there's not much happening in terms of racism locally in our community. But certainly even in the last short while, events at the University of Regina, as an example, have been in the news where the cheerleading team posed
as Cowboys and Indians.
Cowboys and Indians. And it was obviously made the news. The university has made a statement about it that is said it's very disappointed in the actions of the cheerleading team. And First Nations leaders and community members have really come forward and said this is wrong. but also many other people in the community. And I think, Tatenda, you've got something that is a really interesting article. It was written by a former cheerleader.
Cheerleader, and Holly Ann McKenzie.
Yeah.
And she's a doctoral student in University of British Columbia right now. And she felt the need to speak up about it. And I found that her article is very interesting. And she said that we need to understand that just because we have good intentions doesn't mean that our actions are not as damaging. And that even if we have good intentions, there is still an effect. There's a dangerous and harmful effect of our actions. And she calls on, and she says that the actions of the cheerleading team, they hypersexualize Indigenous women. And they continue to perpetrate the stereotypes about Indigenous people, and it really takes away from their fight for their for land rights and services.
So, you know, I think Holly McKenzie is a really good commentator to respond to this, and I'm glad that she did in the way she did, because she's also somebody who's been part of that world of participating at the University of Regina as a cheerleader, and I know many people felt her comments were really quite supportive in terms of the response. So, and Jim, I think you might have had something with information about news that Chastity Delorme has shared in terms of an idea about how people in the community can respond as well.
Yeah, she's a current First Nations University of Canada student here in Regina. And she's using social media to combat stereotypes. She's issued a challenge to Aboriginal and First Nations people to take an impromptu photograph of themselves and share it. She says, "I want to educate the culturally insensitive people that still exist in my community." And her idea also invites people to add a tag to their photo, such as, "Not your stereotype," or "Not your Tonto." She was spurred in part by the recent controversy over images of the University of Regina cheer team posing as cowboys and Indians. "These stereotypes are still not gone," she says, "and it's up to people like me and my leaders to help define in a better way who we are." This was in an interview she had with CBC News on Tuesday. "You know, we're everyday people." And after only a few hours, many had responded to the challenge and posted, also using social media, post photos of people at home with family or at their work. And, you know, I think, Gord, we've discussed this. I've discussed it with a few people, and I think the cheerleaders really had not a clue that what they were doing was so offensive. But the university is taking steps to...
Really? Do you think, I'm sure like maybe one or two of them would said, maybe this will come off a little bit offensive. I'm sure somebody there said something sort of in the line of that.
Yeah.
Then somebody said, but they didn't like give an extra 5 minutes to the thinking process around that or the discussion. They didn't have a discussion about it. I mean, they've seen so many mascots out there that people are protesting. I mean, we
had
the Red Man protest recently. And so I don't understand how... all those, I don't know how many girls are on the team. Not even maybe one of them would have said, you know, let's stop. Maybe we should have like a, I don't know, dogs versus cats theme, kind of, you know, something like that.
And I suppose, you know, continuing with your thoughts there, really, how much time would it have taken to actually go and talk to a First Nations person, of which there are many at the university?
Yes.
You know, and they could have discussed this, and if they had any doubts... you know, they would have been set straight.
I think if you have a doubt, it shows that maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Like if you have like one little, just little doubt, then you know that maybe you're going in the wrong territory.
Yeah. And at least worth a discussion.
Yeah. So
let's have the discussion.
Yeah. And there should be like a coach on that team, isn't there? Like a coach or somebody who supervises them and
tells
them the practice. They should know they're an educator.
Yep.
And, you know, I think another element of this is really connected to some of the larger issues that come up with respect to when racism is at its worst and there's significant conflict. Because in this case, as you mentioned, Tatenda, this was an initiative by a group of students. So not just one student. Mm-hmm. You know, not one individual who decided to do something that was inappropriate. It was a crowd, right? And so, and so often when racist or discriminatory or sexist things happen, it's a crowd. And there may be people who are part of that crowd who, as you say, doubt that it's, might have some question or doubt that it's a good idea. But unless people do stand up and speak out against racism, even if you're part of the crowd, it's going to continue to be perpetuated in the community. And, you know, in different contexts, it has contributed to significant conflict and even loss of life. Like, where were the people in 1960 in Sharpeville, the police officers who said, maybe this isn't a good idea that we, you know, pull out the guns against these peaceful protesters. And I think that's an element of discussion that we really need to reflect on, as well as the impact of the crowd relative to the perpetuation of racism and stereotypes.
Yeah, that mob mentality is really keeps us from speaking out at all or saying anything, or that need for social cohesion, or not to be like the naysayer or the one who's like, wait, stop. But I'm so grateful that we have like social media where we can take these photos and then they're just there and they're permanent. You know, if we didn't take a photo or didn't put them online, it would just happen and continue to happen. But now that we have social media, as I think Dr. Charnine Pete from the University of Regina, who's a indigenization leader there.
Yes.
She said that because we have social media, we can actually say, hey, this is a teaching opportunity. We can really stop this. You know?
No. I thought her comments were really, really worthwhile in terms of the response.
Yes.
So in the other thing that we wanted to mention relative to March 21st is another event that's coming up in the community that's very soon, and that's on Sunday, March 23rd. It's called Spring Free from Racism. It's an annual, incredibly unpopular event. Once again this year, it'll be at the Italian Club at 13th Avenue and Connaught. Easy to find if you've never been there. Last year, do you know that there were over 5,000 people that came throughout the day to attend this event? No. So the idea is it starts at 12 noon and goes on throughout the day till about 7:30 in the evening. And throughout the day, there's lots of cultural groups with a wide range of food, so plan to go and have something to eat. And also some great entertainment, where people from different cultural communities in Regina are sharing and celebrating their own cultures and marking the day of, you know, it's a really honor for Amnesty International to be able to participate. We'll be there with a display, but you know, really, the significant thing is a celebration and of diversity in our community, and I'd certainly encourage people to come out and
it's like a miniature mosaic.
Yeah, that's right. Like without having to travel all over the city.
Yeah.
The food is great.
One place.
That's right.
Go for the food. As well as the entertainment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes on and on. There's lots of booths, lots of tables. Amnesty will be there.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're the ones in yellow.
We've actually got a bit of a plan this year, and it's kind of connected to what you're saying about taking photos to Tenda. We're going to be there with some signs that we've already made up, and they're going to be things like stand up, speak out against racism, unite against racism. Things like another sign saying love is colorblind, and people have an opportunity if they'd like to come over to the Amnesty International display, sign some of our petitions, and also have their picture taken and use it on social media to promote an awareness that the day exists, where we mark this particular initiative, but also that we need to be cognizant of the issues around racism and discrimination in our community throughout the year. So we hope people will stop by and visit us.
Yeah, I think also racism is not so in your face. It's very subtle and very systemic. So sometimes it takes like a few occasions to say, oh, maybe that happened because it's racist or something like that. I think that's the new racism we have today. We don't really have that kind of, blatant racism today. We have those kind of like systemic or passive kind of racist attitudes, and people need to know about that. I think people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who's a Palestinian moved back to Montreal, and he moved there because he felt more comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
And he did feel, you know, the discrimination, the racism here in Regina. And we probably don't like to think that it exists here,
mm-hmm.
but maybe we're burying our heads in the sand a little bit. It does. It does. You said you were doing a little sort of a project recording people's reactions to that question about racism.
Yes, I'd asked a few of my classmates if they've ever been in a racial altercation or know of somebody who's been in one. And they had to think. They really had to think. Mm-hmm. And I think also because the people they surround themselves with are very mature.
Mm-hmm.
But once I gave them a little bit of time, they said, oh my gosh, I remember this situation. A friend of mine has an Aboriginal First Nations friend, and they were trying to go to a bar, and they had to have two pieces of ID. She got in with one piece of ID, but when her friend tried to show her one piece of ID, they wouldn't let her in. So things like that would happen a lot. And a friend told me that his parents had taken almost like a cowboy's and Indian photo back in the day, and he asked them about it today, like recently, and they said, yeah, that was really bad. We should not have done that. It was for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents looked back and were like, wow, can't believe we did that, actually.
And, you know, I think that would be true of many of us. We're growing up, many of us would not have been growing up in an environment where we understood the context of that whole cowboy and Indian event,
exactly.
You know, the whole play thing that people participated in. And in the same light, we didn't understand anything or have any information through our school system about treaty rights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully people are beginning to become more aware about First Nations issues in our community and also about treaty rights. But those are conversations that we need to have a lot more of.
Yes, a lot of classmates said that they did have First Nations Aboriginal education, but they didn't go into detail, was very vague.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the problem. They said you can't introduce a First Nations Indigenous Studies course in the beginning of university and expect somebody to, you know, really appreciate somebody else's culture when they're an adult already. You know, we really need to put more force into these programs in high school or in elementary school.
Especially when you figure this is where we live.
Yes.
We are on Treaty 4 land. We should know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should know it before we hit high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've said this before, and this mirrors your experience, Gord. You know, when we're going to school, we got very, very little education about First Nations people. And what we did get was mostly wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, really, when it comes right down to it.
Yeah.
So I know there's curriculum there now, and it's improving. But it needs to improve some more.
Yes.
So, we got a couple of minutes here, Gordon.
So, you know, I just wanted to mention again that we have for people's calendars, we mentioned Sunday's event on March 23rd at the Italian Club. But I also, while you're making notes on your calendar, the annual meeting for the Amnesty International Group in Regina will be held on Thursday, April 24th at the Italian Club, at the United Way. A little tired this morning. At the United Way. And we've got a special part of that meeting where we're going to be actually arranging a Skype call. We're really excited to be able to indicate this today with Hamid Gashomishal and his wife Antonella. Hamid spent 5 years in Evin prison in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
He was on death row, and we campaigned along with many, many people who are Amnesty International members and supporters around the world for his release.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing that he was released. Unfortunately, many people continue to be executed in Iran. In January alone, we're aware that over 40 people were executed, and many people on a weekly basis are continuing to be executed in that country. It's a very, very serious human rights issue. But we do want to, at our annual meeting, and first of all, encourage people to mark it on your calendar and come out if you're interested. But mark that celebration where he was released, and in that sense, create an awareness that our letter writing can have a good positive impact, and it's in a case that Hamid was actually a Canadian citizen. He had dual Canadian and Iranian citizenship. Went back to visit his mother, who wasn't well, and was arrested. And you know, we're hoping that people will take an interest in this particular event on April 24th and come out and participate.
I was just going to comment, his brother died in prison.
That's right.
Well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Time for the break.
All right.
Yes. And we're going to have some special music when we're on the other side of the break. Tatenda is not familiar with Michael Franti, so I've got a Michael Franti piece out of a special collection that Gord brought along from Amnesty. It's a four CD group of different artists, and so we're going to hear something. I don't think I've heard this before, but Michael Franti, I'm a Michael Franti fan,
yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is Michael Franti with a little Subterranean Homesick Blues. Kick it off like this.
It's hey.
Johnny's in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement, thinking about the government. The man in the trench coat, badge got laid off. Says he's got a bad call, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something dead. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway, looking for a new friend. The man in the coonskin cap is in the big pen. Wants $11 bills, but you only got 10. Maggie comes Fleetfoot, face full of black soot, talking at the heat foot, plants in the bed, but the phone's tapped anyway. Maggie says that many say they got a bus in early May, orders from the DA, look out kid, no matter what you did, walking on your tiptoes, don't try no those, it better stay away from those that carry around the fire hose, keep a clean nose, watch the plane close, you don't need no weatherman to know which way the wind blows. You gotta get sick, get well, hang around an inkwell, ring bell, hard to tell if anything is gonna sell. Try hard to get far, get back, ride trail, get jail, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit by users, cheaters, six-time losers. Hang around the theater, girl by the whirlpool, looking for a new pool. Don't follow no leaders, watch the parking meters. Get phone, get warm, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get dressed, get yourself blessed. Try to be a success. Please her, please him, buy gifts. Don't steal, don't live. No, man, 20 years of schooling and they put you on the day shift. Look out, kid, they keep it all here. Better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals, try to avoid the scandals. Don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum. The pump don't work because the vandals stole the handles. And that's how we take it underground to cure the subterranean homesick blues. You say, oh yeah.
And that was the Subterranean Homesick Blues by Michael Franti. And this is part of a four-disc set that if you were interested, you could purchase yourself from the Amnesty International webpage. And I'm just looking to see what the actual title of it is. Anyway, a whole bunch of artists. I'm not even sure. I don't see a number here, but just artist after artist, including Johnny Cash and, let's see, Pete Townsend. Who else have we got here? The Sting. I'm just picking them at random here. Steve Earle and Lucia Micharelli. Miley Cyrus. Billy Bragg. Joan Baez. All kinds of them here. Sinead O'Connor, just goes on and on. Dave Matthews Band, Pete Seeger with the Rivertown Kids. So there's just a wonderful variety of artists and different songs here, and all to do with human rights.
And it's called the Chimes of Freedom CD. And,
okay.
It's a, as you mentioned, Jim, it's a four CD set. It's available from Amnesty at amnesty.ca. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. And
yeah.
Also, I mean, you can find it locally, probably in the various music shops as well.
Yeah.
So we're wanting to welcome everybody back to the second half hour of Human Rights Radio. My name's Gord, and
I'm Jim.
I'm Tatenda.
Yeah, and it's a little cool day, but it's a sunny one. So
second day of
if you're
spring.
Tuning in, woo-hoo. Hope you're enjoying spring in Regina, in Saskatchewan.
At least it's sunny. I mean, it's one thing to be minus 16 and cloudy, but sunny, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Right, yep.
And, you know, it's all sort of going to get better from here.
So. It better.
It has to. Let me jump in here for a second, just to remind everybody about the Look and Listen Lottery one more time.
Do that.
Get your tickets. We haven't sold out of them yet, but don't wait to see if that happens. Get your tickets now.
Yeah, because it's a really important initiative by Community Radio, CJTR, to support the programming and the diversity of programming that happens on radio, and also the not just the spoken word, but the kind of neat music that happens on CJTR. So I know there are ongoing expenses, even though almost everybody in the station here is a volunteer, but we've got ongoing expenses that we need to support the community radio in our community. So
yep, for sure.
So I think with that, we're going to move to a variety of things that we just wanted to update people on, and we moved away from the discussion about the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And one of the first ones is, earlier this year, Amnesty Canada started a book club. And Tatenda's got a copy of the most recent book that's being read. And you can join that book club quite easily, pick up a copy of the current book. And then if you'd like, you can sign up and get discussion guides and all the rest of it. It's an interesting process. You can participate with other people across Canada. So, Tatenda, would you want to share just a little bit about this current book?
Yes, this book was given to me by a friend of mine, Gord Barnes. I don't know if you know him. It is called Half Blood Blues by, I'm not going to say the author's name correctly, I know that, Essie Edyang. Edyang?
I think so.
Edyang, yeah. Okay. So it is about, the book follows a jazz bassist named Sidney Sid Griffiths and his bandmates from the blues music scene in 1939 Berlin and Paris to the 1940s, when Griffiths and his friends attempt to flee the peril of Nazism in Germany. They struggle through racial hatred that is in vogue at the time because they're mixed German and African. Which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a very interesting movie to watch about a German African person living in Nazi Germany. Yeah. Anyway, well, they go to Paris and it's about their friend Hero Falk, who is arrested for simply being who he is and a jazz artist, and well, the two friends reunite, and over the years, they go through their music, they play their music, and then a documentary is made about their friend's life, and then they go back to Germany and view the documentary, and while they're viewing the documentary, they find a letter from their friend, and that leads them onto another journey. Okay. I have not read the book, obviously.
Well, I was going to say, don't give it all away here.
But it sounds very interesting, and I will read it.
All right. Yeah. So that's the current book on the list. I should mention, if you haven't had a chance to hear the news about the book club, the very first book was by Joseph Boyden. It's called 3 Day Road, and I'd certainly recommend that one.
Yep, me too.
And the next one is one that
what's that one about?
Okay, it is about a... it's an interesting thing here. We've got two main characters. They're both James Bay Cree Indians, and this is First World War, and this young boy goes off to fight in the First World War in the trenches, and he comes back home badly, badly injured. I think he's missing his legs, and he's also addicted to morphine, and his aunt picks him up, and she's taking him home, and this is about the trip home.
Wow.
Yeah. From the First World War.
In a canoe.
And, he is quite a well-recognized author. His current book, Arenda, is doing very well as well. So
I have to read that one. Yeah. But it's a very powerful book.
And I just mentioned we won't spend too much time on it, but the next book on the book club list is one I have read a few years ago now. It's by Stephen Galloway. It's actually recommended for the Amnesty Club book club by Jan Martel. And it's called The Cellist of Sarajevo.
He wrote The Life of Pi.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the one who recommended the book.
Yeah.
I'd suggest people take a look at that as a way to spend an evening reading one of the books on the Amnesty Club book club list. So great chance to connect with other readers and human rights activists across Canada by, you know, sharing in the discussion guides as well.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on from that, we did want to share some of the current news in terms of some of the things that have been happening. And I think, Jim, you've got a little bit of news about what happened most recently in terms of and what's been going on in Darfur and Sudan to share.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is from the Amnesty site, I believe, posted on the 14th of March. Almost 500,000 people have been forced from their homes over the last year as violence intensified in war-torn Darfur. The deliberate targeting of civilians accompanied by looting, rape, and murder are documented in the Amnesty International report, "We Can't Endure Anymore." That's in quotation marks. Attacks against civilians in central Darfur. It includes first-hand testimony from the recent wave of victims of Darfur's 11-year conflict. Deliberate attacks in civilian areas with the intent of killing and injuring people is a war crime and demonstrates a disregard for the most basic principles of international humanitarian law. This is from Michelle Kagari, the East Africa Deputy Director at Amnesty International. The report documents how fighting between two tribes in central Darfur, the Salamat and the Misriya, have left whole communities homeless and scores either dead or injured. Amnesty International found that civilians were deliberately targeted by both sides. Eyewitnesses describe large attacks carried out by armed militias, including members of Sudanese paramilitary forces, targeting civilians in and around Dakun locality, central Darfur. 30 to 50 cars, many horses, circled the village. They shot at people. They went to the shops and stole everything. Those who came were wearing police and Popular Defense Forces uniforms. They came in land cruisers covered in mud, a sheikh from Kabar told Amnesty International. They started shooting at everyone, kids, women, elderly. They were shouting, "You are slaves. This land is our land. It is not a land for slaves, and we will kill everyone." The Sudanese authorities must immediately rein in paramilitary forces, conduct a prompt and impartial investigation into allegations of attacks on civilians, and hold those responsible for serious abuses to account, said Michelle Kagari. Following South Sudan's secession in 2011, Sudan lost the majority of its oil revenues and its economy has deteriorated. Rising inflation and unemployment have intensified competition over land and resources, leading to large-scale intercommunal violence. More than a decade after the start of the conflict in Darfur, the human rights situation in the Western Sudanese region remains dire. Civilians continue to bear the brunt of human rights violations and abuses by government forces and armed groups. Ongoing impunity in Darfur has ensured that perpetrators of human rights abuses have no incentive to stop and has encouraged others to commit similar abuses, said Michelle Kagari. The international community must step up efforts to ensure accountability and not leave Darfur's civilian population to bear the brunt of this endless cycle of violence. Wow, it just things are going from bad to worse there.
Very, very desperate situation.
Yeah, we had some people here from South Sudan on our program, and they were much more optimistic, I think, about the future when they were here. But things haven't turned out for them.
Yeah. And Tatenda, you've got a little bit of news from Brazil, I think, in terms of one of the more recent cases that Amnesty is concerned about.
Yes. Apparently, it's Gift to Tenda All the Hard Names Day. I didn't know. Oh.
We know you're up for it.
Okay. Well, okay. So in Brazil, we have a school teacher. Her name is Lisa Santos Sampaio.
Very okay. good.
I did that well. And she is a protester against logging in her Amazonian region. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that maybe in her traditional lands that they're doing a lot of
clear cutting
mm-hmm. and so on. Well, yeah. She is protesting against that, and because she has protested against it and formed a protest group, her sister and her brother-in-law have been murdered in 2011 for this, and her life is under threat. Yeah. So Amnesty International has started a petition to effectively protect Larsa, investigate the threats against her, and to address the entrenched criminality that lies behind such violence and protect communities at risk. And it says in here that the person who attempted to kill her has not been arrested. And it seems like they know the identity of this person and they're being protected.
It's all too common in some of these countries that it's the dollar. It's unfortunately corporations. You know, they tend to rule the roost. You know.
Yes.
And
we've even seen that here with fracking. Yeah.
It's a discussion that's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. So another bit I had mentioned at towards the end of the first half hour of the program that. This is actually the beginning of the Iranian New Year, and it's called Nowruz.
Really?
And it's a time of celebration, but unfortunately for many, many people in and families in Iran, it's not the case because family members are imprisoned, people who have been human rights activists, people who have been subject to very, very difficult circumstances. And there's particular concern because, you know, in Iran, the people who are often executed are the executions take place the last Wednesday of every month, and that's when a number of prisoners are typically hanged. There's one case that a friend just recently shared with me this morning about a young woman who is now 22 years old. She's been in Tehran's Evin prison for several years. What happened was she was actually approached by a member of the security forces in Iran, and he wanted to have sex with her. She did not allow that to happen and did not permit his advances to continue. Unfortunately, the way things evolved, she ended up, for her own safety, having to protect herself and stabbed him. So now she's been in, as I say, she's trying to fend off this individual from rape and been in Tehran's Evin prison and potentially will be one of the people who is hung very soon. So we're hoping that many people will join with Amnesty International and write appeals to the Iranian officials. It's very easy to find other cases with respect to Iran on the Amnesty website, and it's urgent that we remind the Iranian officials of the inappropriate use of the death penalty and hanging in that country, and their need to really move forward with a different kind of agenda in Iran where human rights are respected. You know, we were hopeful last fall that maybe some of the changes that were going on might represent some progress, but unfortunately, and there were some people actually released, but you know, unfortunately the human rights situation in Iran continues to be very desperate, mm-hmm. and the international community needs to stand in solidarity with the people who are going through tough times there.
It does make you wonder about how they're thinking there. It reminds me of an old saying that I think is meant to be thought of as a joke, but when you think about it, it's not funny. The beatings will continue until morale improves. It seems like that's the way Iran is governing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are some people that are concerned about the morale of the people. The birth rate has gone down, and they're wondering what to do about it. Well, you know.
Not rape.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but I mean, it's just a general lack of confidence in the future, you know, and people are not having their families, they're opting, or they're having small families, and any developed country, of course, they're having that problem anyway, you know. I think in our own country, the lowest birth rate, I believe, is in Quebec.
Wow.
And so these are troubling times, you know. You've got to. That's why immigration is so important to Canada, because our birth rate is not doing very well. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in Iran, they're suffering this problem as well, and it just makes me think, boy, they're going about things the wrong way.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It says something about women's rights in that country, because, I mean, this could have been defense. This is defense.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure, this
absolutely.
Is defense. She perhaps shouldn't be getting the death penalty for this. No. I mean, this man was going to attack her. She had to protect herself.
Yeah, there's an extreme cultural malaise there, I think, that needs to be addressed, but...
And the people who do stand up in Iran are often the ones who are then put in prison. Mm-hmm. You know, the human rights activists, and we need to stand in solidarity with them. You know, just before the end of the program, I do want to mention that we haven't really talked over the last several weeks, and it's been such a rapidly developing series of events in Ukraine, Crimea, in Russia. We haven't really spent much time talking about that, but. That's another area of significant concern for Amnesty International. You'll be able to find, if you go to our website, information about peace activists who have been arrested and detained in Russia. And, you know, we need to appeal and support those people who are calling for peace in Russia, who are opposing the intervention by Putin in the region. And I also wanted to share that, because we have talked on the program before about the punk rock band Pussy Riot, who have been often either detained for significant lengths of time or harassed at their concerts.
Mm-hmm.
It even happened recently when they tried to perform, during the Sochi Olympics. But just to mention, tonight... At the Regina Public Library, also Saturday and Sunday, they're screening a film called Pussy Riot, A Punk Player, and it's at the Regina Public Library Film Theater.
Hmm.
It's worthwhile going out. Tonight's screening is at 9 o'clock, and same thing on Sunday, and then Saturday night at 7. It's filmed over the course of 6 months, and it features access to some very exclusive footage that chronicles the multicolored odyssey of Nadia, Masha, and Katya, the art collective Pussy Riot. And they have, as I say, been in difficulty in Russia because they've been protesting peacefully the policies of the Russian president. So, you know, it's a film that you might want to check out at the film theater, and I think we could learn a little bit by heading out to the film theater either over the course of the weekend. There's lots going on this weekend, mm-hmm. but it's probably a good way to spend a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Just one thing here, Gord. I just wanted to mention that 4-CD set that we played a piece from, Chimes of Freedom, it's the songs of Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Yeah, and I forgot to emphasize that. All the songs on this CD are songs that Bob Dylan wrote.
Yeah.
So we've got all sorts of different artists, but they're all songs that are written by Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. I mean, there's just a lot of songs here, so they're great. Another thing I was going to mention, too, and I think it's important for people to go and have a look at our website. And from there, you can look at the Amnesty Canada website. You can also go to the amnesty.org international website, and you can you'll see so much there of all the different things that are happening in the world, all over the world.
Yes.
We have our issues in Canada, for sure, but there are issues all over the world, and this goes into great detail. These are all, they're all researched very carefully by Amnesty. If we have an action where we're writing letters or protesting something, this is not done without some careful research. We actually send people like Alex Neve to go and find out what's going on and get the facts of the situation. So well worth a visit to go and see what's going on at the Amnesty websites.
And yeah. Tatenda, thanks for being on the program again today. It's been good discussion, a lot of different things. And again to head out to Spring Free from Racism on Sunday, March 23rd at the Italian Club, 13th Avenue in Connaught.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I'm looking forward to the food.
Yeah.
I am.
Yes. And you'll be there today.
Such a variety.
I will be there from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're tabling together.
I think
yeah,
so. 2 to 4. Should be
yes.
fun.
Yeah.
So it's always good to have two people at the table, because then one can be at the table while the other checks out the food.
Yes. Most importantly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, and a reminder, too, about our annual general meeting.
On April the 24th.
On Thursday. And it's going to be at the United Way.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a significant date, too, I hear, Tatenda.
Yes, it is. It's the day of my birth.
Ah,
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 23.
We'll have some candles. Some cake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an odd number. I want to be even. Yeah. Even Steven.
Ah,
so that'll be April 24th at 7 o'clock. Or 6:30. Sorry, we're starting at 6:30.
No, I'm confused. What
6:30?
Yeah,
6:30 United Way.
I think I said the 21st. Was I wrong?
24th.
24th. I was wrong.
24th. Yeah.
And here's the news: we're going to have as well a justice dessert. So it's a dessert potluck for the evening. So another reason to mark it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So yeah, we have some good cooks in Amnesty,
and I'm sure it's going to be warmer weather by then.
It better be.
Oh,
better be.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, for sure. Mm. For sure. Anyway, we have come to the end of our allotted time here. So we're going to close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio. And we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. And I'd just like to add that from amnestysaskatchewan.ca, you can go to the other sites. You can go to the Canadian site. You can go to the international site. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done."